I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be here. More lesson this morning for lighting your spiritual passion. One of the devil's greatest devices is to tempt Christians into losing their passion for serving God. And the devil will try to deceive you, deaden you, devour you. If none of these work, he will settle for discouraging you. And that's why it's very important that we follow the advice that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Looking over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul advises the Ephesians. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." When we put on that whole armor of God, the devil has no power over us. Because we have studied our enemy. We know what kind of adversary he is. And what devices he uses. And possessing this knowledge, it gives us the upper hand over him. Looking again in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, going on to verse 11, says, "Let Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. However, sometimes people, or even entire congregations, can lose their spiritual passion." And the church at Ephesus is an example of a church that lost its zest for Christ. Looking in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, we read about the church at Ephesus. In Revelation 2 and verse 1, "To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your presence, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." First of all, we should notice that the church at Ephesus did have some good qualities. But they were starting to go downhill. And Jesus basically tells them they had left their first love. And they had reached to the point where they were just going through the motions. As a result of this, Jesus tells them that he will remove their lampstand. See, there's no reason for a church to have a lampstand if there's no fire to go in it. So Jesus basically tells them they must repent or pay the consequences. While it's sad to think that people or even entire congregations can lose that zeal for Christ, we have to realize that it can happen to us. And that's why it's so important that we test ourselves to see if we've lost that spiritual passion. Paul tells us to do that very thing. Looking in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. He tells us, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" One of the most important things, we covered this a little in Bible class this morning, but one of the most important things that we have to possess as Christians is love. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Without love, we can never hope to have that passion that God wants us to have. A person can do all kinds of wonderful things, but without love behind it, it doesn't benefit us at all. So let me ask you a question this morning. Are you on fire for the Lord? Or are you hiding your light under a basket? If we do not have a zest for serving Christ and for serving the Lord, then He may remove our lampstand as well. How many people do we know that once had a fire for the Lord, but then it quickly faded away? It's so sad when we let ourselves to be lukewarm in our Christianity. God never intended for His children to be mediocre. So what I'd like to do this morning is to examine several principles that will help us in relighting that spiritual passion. And all these principles will come from the words that Paul wrote to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12 and going through 16. Not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Our first point this morning comes from verse 12 here. And we need to notice the attitude that the apostle had. Let's read that verse one more time. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Now, Paul is one of the hardest working people that we will read about in the Bible. And he even makes this claim himself in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." But you see, it didn't matter how hard Paul worked. He had the attitude that he was not yet perfected. And from this we can learn that we should never get to the point where we think we've done enough for the Lord, where we can retire from being a Christian. Because as soon as we start thinking that, we're going to lose that spiritual passion that we need to have. And Jesus tells us that very thing in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus makes it easy to understand that serving God is a daily event. Not a once or twice a week, but it's a daily event. And I heard a story that applies to this particular situation. There was a professor that taught at a certain college in a certain place. And every day, when he would see his class off, tell them to, he's waving them home, he would always tell them, "Stay green." He'd always tell them to stay green. Now, the students, Susan didn't get what he was meaning by that. Why is he telling us to stay green? What does that mean? One day, one of the students finally had the courage to get up and ask him, "What do you mean by that, telling us to stay green?" And he told them, he explained to them that as long as they remained green, that meant they were still growing. They were continuing to grow. If they stopped growing, they would die and turn brown, just like any grass. So he was telling them to stay green, so they kept learning the subject that he had to teach them. Now, that is exactly the same attitude that we need to have as Christians. And if we want to keep our spiritual passion alive, let's look at several things that someone might say to ourselves. Some things we might say to ourselves that cause us to slack off. The first one here is, "I've studied the Bible for years, so I don't really need to study that much anymore." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us something different. It says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Proverbs 15 and verse 28 also tells us, "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." And one more, in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you, a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." These verses teach us very plainly that we should never reach the point where we think we have studied the Bible enough. It doesn't matter how many hours a day we study the Word of God, you will still consistently learn new things. You always learn new things. It's also important that we keep it fresh on our minds. So when we face these particular challenges that we read about in the Bible, that we're able to overcome them. And also so that we'll be able to better explain where to find these verses at when someone asks us why we believe the things we do. But number two, I prayed enough for a lifetime. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 tells us something different. It tells us the opposite, in fact. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Going on to Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. We don't get any indication from these verses that we can get to the point where we've prayed too much. In fact, it tells us the exact opposite. So if we get to the point where we lose our desire to pray for God, then we've definitely lost our spiritual passion. Number three, I've done enough work in the church for my share. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. It goes on to tell us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And in Revelation 14 and verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. When you look at these two verses, it should be clear to us that our work does not come to an end until we're incapable of doing it or we die. And notice Paul says that a Christian is always to abound in the work of the Lord. And John continues that by saying that after a Christian dies, then they get a rest from their labors. We need to be very careful when we start thinking in the ways that we've read here in the past few minutes. Because we're setting up ourselves to be idle. And when we become idle, when you could be busy for the Lord, you will lose your spiritual passion. Now, if you're already in that condition, then the way to relight your spiritual passion is by rolling up your sleeves and getting busy for the Lord. Our next point comes from verse 13, back in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Again, we have to see here that Paul doesn't consider himself to have reached his goal as yet. This is one of the hardest working men that we read about in the Bible. But even then, he still has not reached his goal. And he's not allowing the things from the past either to drag him down. Just think about everything that Paul did before he converted. He persecuted. He hunted down Christians. He drove them from Jerusalem and chased them down to foreign cities. That man had to push that past behind him and move on. He watched with great joy as Stephen was stoned to death. If Paul allowed himself to dwell on those things that he'd done in the past, it'd be hard for him to think when going forward in the future. But Paul understood that once he became a Christian, not only was his past sin forgiven, it was forgotten. God has the ability to forget those things in our past. But sometimes we find it very difficult to forget what we ourselves have done. And if we dwell on it all the time, it can hinder us in moving forward and from reaching our goal. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Verses 1 and 2 here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. We're given a good thought here. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that the writer of Hebrews tells us to lay aside every weight. That includes the past. If we want to be effective for God and have our passion burning hot for Him, we must learn to forget these things that happened in the past and keep our sights on Jesus and on that goal that we're having towards working towards heaven. Our next point comes from verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The word press in Greek means to strive intensely. And the Greeks use it to describe a hunter eagerly awaiting and pursuing his prey. In a race, it would describe the person who zealously strived for the prize at the end of the race. This tells us that Paul was striving with every fiber and muscle of his being to reach that goal of heaven. This shows the passion that he's had in serving God towards his death. And this is the same attitude that we, each individual here, has to have that attitude as a Christian when it comes to serving God and when it comes to seeking that goal that is heaven. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus was sending his disciples out on a small mission. And he gave them a warning about what happened to them. But notice what he tells them in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 10. He tells them, And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he endures to the end will be saved. This is what it's all about, brothers and sisters. As Christians, we have to endure the hardships and the temptations of this life. And by keeping our sights on Jesus, by remaining faithful to him. Jesus states that those who endure to the end will be saved. And they will receive that crown of righteousness. We can read about that in Revelation 2:10. But in order for us to remain faithful, not to lose that spiritual passion that keeps us driving forward, it takes an inward determination on each of our parts. If you do not convince yourself of how important it is to love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul, how are we ever going to press forward as Christians? If we don't have a passion for Christ, how is anyone going to see Christ in all of us? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15, Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have for us a pattern. Paul is teaching us that we have to have the same mind as he did. That is, not thinking that we've already reached our goal, but that our goal is still off. That we should continue to grow, continue doing our work for the Lord, continue doing his will, as many things as we are able for him. Now, notice we are to walk by the same rules. And all those rules come from the Word of God. And if there's anyone who should have ever been discouraged, Paul is someone who should have been discouraged. Now, I want to look real quick at a summary of what Paul suffered during his time, the things he went through. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll read about some of the things that Paul went through in his time. Let me tell you, if anyone should have lost their spiritual passion, it would have been Paul. Let's read what he went through here real quick. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and beside other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. If Paul could keep his spiritual passion through all those things that he suffered through, it should inspire us to keep our own spiritual passion when we go through our own trials. If we could follow Paul's example, we might be able to say that same thing that he said at the end of his life. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. As Paul was facing his end, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." Notice, he described his walk of faith as a fight. And that's exactly what it is. Day in and day out, we must fight to remain faithful to the Lord. And when we do, we can know that there will be that crown of righteousness that's laid up for us as well. That's the crown, that's our goal that we're working towards. Brothers and sisters, our spiritual passion relates to everything that we do as Christians and when it comes to walking on that path to heaven. Whether it's sincerely taking that time out of the day to say a prayer to the Lord, or it's making sure that our mind's focused when we take the Lord's Supper, or it's making sure that we go that extra mile to make sure that we make it to Bible class. All those things tie back into our passion in serving the Lord and our determination that He is going to come first in our life above everything else. In the book of Acts, we read about a man called Stephen. And for believing in Christ, they arrested him. They put him on trial to kill him. But even when all this happens, Stephen did not falter. The Bible tells us even when he was looking at the judges who were going to sentence him to death, they said that he had the face of an angel. Meaning, he was prepared for what was about to happen. And even then, he was determined. Even with his death, he was going to do God's will. I'm sure at this congregation, there are members who are shining examples of putting God first in their lives. Christians that everyone can look up to. We need to learn from their example, from Stephen's example, about what putting the Lord first truly means. If you're not a Christian, putting the Lord first means becoming one of His disciples. A Christian is someone who strives to be Christ-like, to ever approach that perfection that Christ was. It's through being a Christian that we can continue walking on that path to heaven. By believing in Him, confessing that He is the Son of God, repenting and being baptized. This is the only method the Bible teaches for us to become a Christian. The opportunity to become a Christian is here for you this morning. Don't hesitate. There isn't a happier occasion than when someone becomes a Christian. Likewise, if someone has fallen away from the Lord, maybe your spiritual passion subsided, led you committing sins in a public manner in some way. We can pray with you and pray for you. We can take a few moments of our action now and have an eternity of effects on us. So please don't hesitate. Please come forward now while we stand and sing.